good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, July the 3rd, 184th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor Virginia Bass. You ready for fireworks?
I am ready to have a nice, fun day with family and head down to the 4th of July festival and hopefully fireworks.
Are you guys going to stay in town?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, there are so many people out, and I actually see my mother down in Old Town for the 4th of July, and she doesn't leave the house that often, so it's a time you don't want to miss.
Yeah, it's kind of, well, social, whether it's the Fortuna's
definitely.
Event later on tonight, or Old Town tomorrow, or Arcata, or wherever. I mean, it's kind of, it's one of those, particularly with most of us not having Friday off.
Yeah, you know,
it's just kind of a hangout.
Yeah,
unless you're vacationing, and then it would be kind of cool to be like at Disneyland for the 4th of July.
Extra fireworks.
That's what I was wondering. Do they start early? Do they go bigger?
I don't know, but all I know is I'm hoping that the fog stays away. I'm crossing my fingers now.
Cautiously optimistic. Yeah, okay. This afternoon, we're talking a little bit about the concept of public commentary. There are comments and there are comments. There is public and there is public. And we'll talk a little bit about how things occur and how they are treated when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass, but before we do, our quote this afternoon. Oh, that's way too long. Let's find a simple one. Here we go. The very essence of leadership is that you have to have a vision. Theodore Hesburgh.
Sounds wonderful.
That's not bad.
But who's Theodore Hesburgh? I mean, I love his comment.
A member of the clergy.
What year was this?
Yeah, he was born in 1917, so he might be a former member of the clergy by now. Yeah, that would make him, 96? I would suggest he's probably a former member of the clergy at this point. I want to start the conversation about public comment, going back to, I think one of the first ones that I was really engaged with was the Sanctuary City in Arcata. Was that the mid-80s-ish? Somewhere around in there.
I was just barely out of high school.
Yeah, both. Yeah, fine. it seemed as if everybody had an opinion about it and blah, 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 blah. And I think the offshoot of that was limiting public comment in meetings to 3 minutes. That was, I think, the first long rambling with a lot of people wanting to have their opinion voiced. Things have changed. What is the basic of public comment? When you're in a meeting, whether it's a special district, a city, a county, the state, are there any hard and fast rules about what is public comment and what isn't?
I don't think there's necessarily hard and fast rules. And public comment, you know, there's two forms. There's public comment that comes with an agenda item. That's something that's on the agenda. And then we have the general public comment period where people can come and talk about things that are not on the agenda. And generally that one is an area where, you know, the board cannot make a decision and they can't discuss amongst themselves because it's something that wasn't agendized and so other people could see.
The 72-hour
right,
Brown Act
specifics.
Notice. Yeah.
But according to, you know, time limits, that's a real fluid decision that's actually left up to the chair of the board. And both, you know, city council, when I was on the Eureka City Council and Humboldt County, have been 3 minutes seems to be a reasonable period of time. But we do allow some extensions. But there are other bodies that say, you know, we've got a lot of agenda items. This one item, we're going to allow 1.5 hour total of public comment. We've never done that since I've been on there, but in essence, that would be people jockeying to see who gets to stand up and speak. So as long as people have the opportunity for each agenda item to state their comments, you know, or you set a time period and people have to adjust, I think you've satisfied the letter of the law.
So either way works as long as there's notification or people know about it in advance.
Yeah, and you know, there are people that are always going to feel that they have not been able to say everything they plan to say. And what I recommend is people bring written comments because we get those and we can read those in their entirety. But as far as public comment, you know, people can say pretty much anything they want other than words that might incite violence or a riot type situation. And so public comment really varies the gamut of, you know, people sticking to an issue and giving you their solutions and ideas, to some folks saying some very interesting comments that, you know, you smile and you say, thank you very much.
Yeah. Do you have to have any concern because of the televised nature now of the meetings about libel and slander, either in the written form or in the spoken form?
Boy, I don't know of anything that's become more evident, you know, given that situation. But you're right, meetings are, we're on for televised for 8 hours at a time. There was one meeting back last July 16th that I went to look at the tape, and we were actually on for over 12 hours. Of course, there was a couple hour break between, but you know, you look at things like that, and people could say something. I don't know if there's a protection, though, given that it's in a public meeting setting. But I, you know, that's a very interesting concept, and I'm sure somebody listening might
still and public public access and cable are treated differently because they're not broadcast, like broadcast television, broadcast radio, or commercial. Yeah, there's different delineations and different standards. I just didn't know if that was part of the process of laying out, or any of the information that's there at the podium that says, okay, right, here are the parameters.
You know, not really. And what I would say is, I believe also because we're elected and we've kind of asked to be, you know, where we are, people can pretty much say what they wish about us. And
if you're an elected or a celebrity,
you kind of give up your right in some ways to talking about
fair game, I think, is what
libel.
Yeah.
But then again, if someone is up and saying very, you know, libelous,
you can kill the microphone
things,
too.
Yeah, you can. And if it's about somebody else, you know, that's where I'd have a concern. But
KINS News and Information, like your offspring, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:19.
Sunshine for Humboldt. Recently, the Eureka Heritage Society named Bill Hole its Preservationist of the Year. For 17 years, he's led the renowned Historic Preservation and Restoration Technology Program at College of the Redwoods. Now, however, he's been told the college may not be able to afford to offer his classes next school year. While the program has a shortfall based solely on enrollment, Mr. Hole says that's not the full story. It's brought in more money than it costs to run, over $1 million from donated supplies, equipment and training sites, state grants and training agreements. He adds, "The type of training we do, integrating construction, rebuilding and revitalizing neighborhoods, is significant to Humboldt County. The intensive hands-on training prepares his students to fill the demand for specialists to work on restorations locally and throughout the country. See, our administrators should take off their green eye shades and see the big picture. This program is a valuable asset to our economy and culture." Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. Virginia, the concept of public comment, I think everybody understands in general terms. But when you're trying to agendize public comment, how do you make allowances for it? Or do you just make it time specific? And it is what it is, and thank you very much, and you don't have to worry too much about it beyond that point.
Most items, I think we just put on the agenda on our regular template, and you know it's got a place for public comment. There are specific items where you're going to expect there to be more public comment, and perhaps those you might make a time set for so people can know to be there. But generally, it's either going to be in the afternoon or the evening. Not afternoon or evening, well, every once in a while, but afternoon or the morning session, and people know that at least to come, you know, at one time or the other. But we do try to give people a general idea of when they can talk. But we never know how many are actually going to be there. You could have two people one week, and you could have 45 the next, and it's up to the chair to kind of moderate.
That's what I was going to follow up in. How much flexibility do you have? I mean, if you've got a line of 50 people,
yeah,
you know, particularly because it seems oftentimes, you know, and I mean, it may be different with some of the more specific areas, you know, where everybody has their own little input. But it seems to be reiteration and reiteration and redundancy and over and over and over. At some point, does the chair have the authority? Or does the board have to, the elected group body have to vote and say, okay, if you're not adding anything new, if it's the same comments, the same as we've heard before, that's already been taken into consideration. We're looking for new information, new comments, new perspectives.
Well, having been chair in the past and having been mayor for 4 years, you can certainly suggest it. But I remember one meeting in specific. I don't remember what this issue was even, but I kept asking people for new information to come forward. And at the time, Jeff Leonard was sitting to my right at the Eureka City Council, and he finally sent me a notice like, I don't think they're listening. And because we can't make them say something new, most people are actually very good, though, if you say, please, you know, if you agree with the speaker before, say, I agree with them and add something new, and they'll do it. But there'll be a few that don't. And I think you'd be hard-pressed to just tell them, no, I've heard enough. But the chair does, you know, if he sees it's going on and there's still a line that wants to speak, and you ask how many want to talk, and you've got, you know, 30 minutes left, and you know the board still has to make a decision, you can say, all right, we're going to go on for 20 more minutes. And
better to go time-specific and leave everybody where they are, or to ratchet it down and say, okay, everybody, so those remaining have an opportunity. Everybody's got 60 seconds.
Hey, you
focus
can do
your,
that.
Focus your thoughts, focus your opinions, focus your statements, because we want everybody to have fair shakes. Next.
Yeah, and you can certainly do that. And also, some items you want to have people sign up to talk, because someone who shows up there early, you know, it makes sense that perhaps they should get up first, but they may be sitting in the middle of the audience and never can get out of the, you know, get in the queue. So, yeah, but it's a great ideas come from the public comment period, and sometimes
are public
you do
comments
walk away.
Are public comments better received, written or oral?
I would say for me, I like to have the written background. Email is great; people send us that first. But if someone comes and makes an oral comment and has written backup material, you know, those are both good. So I can only speak for myself. I think oral gives me an idea. It's like, oh, there's something maybe I haven't thought of. Written really backs it up, though, so I can look at it and make notes and feel like I understand what their comments are, you know, what's driven them.
Formal setting in a meeting or workshop, round table, more relaxed, less formal setting?
You know what I like best is actually meeting people over coffee, which I know sounds weird, but someone will come up with a comment and I'll say, you know, let's get together. So I in many ways, an informal setting I think is better to get ideas really across. And it's hard to do that for an actual board meeting. Currently, we're doing those with the general plan and trying to make them more workshop oriented, where there's some give and take. But you still have the constraints where you have the podium and you have the dais, and it feels like such an artificial separation. And it's hard to people really feel like they're having a equal input.
Well, certainly the ambiance is much more formal in that kind of setting.
Yeah, and the camera's on all the time. Well, actually, some people are totally fine with that, and other people are very self-conscious, you know, being on, you know, being televised.
I'd have a message on the back of my head.
That's right.
Turn the station now.
Yeah.
KINS News and no, that would be for you guys. KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:30.
Value and selection in new furniture and appliances are just the beginning of the reasons why more North Coast customers like you shop at Burns Furniture. This month, you'll find exceptional prices on the new iComfort mattress sleep system and sale prices on Englander mattresses. It's June, so recliners are on sale, and you'll want to see what's new on the four big floors of furniture and appliances at Burns. Get free delivery from Trinidad to Scotia when you buy at Burns Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. Virginia, public comment is one thing. You guys get a ton of correspondence, though.
Definitely.
Some would be qualified as over the artichokes in the produce department.
Yes.
Some could be, as you said, coffee.
I see you in Safeway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're yelling at me in Safeway. Yeah.
Well, and just because we're there too.
Yeah, well, you know, food is a common attraction for all of us, and whether it's that store or other stores, yeah. Baseball fields, you know, let's call them very relaxed, informal settings, versus things in writing, which I would think would tend to take more of a formal status. When you are looking at people's input and their suggestions, does it matter to you how well thought out an idea is, or can a simple comment be enough to go, huh, and start things swirling a little bit?
I think simple comments can often be enough. Solutions are great when someone says, you know, whether it's an email or in the grocery store, they go, you know, you guys were talking about this, but this is what I think. And every once in a while, it'll be a great idea that someone brings forward. What's more difficult is mostly the emails, I'd say, are more likely to be of this sort, where people kind of go on everything they don't like about what you've done, and unfortunately call you perhaps some names, and there's a few other things in there, and then they end it with, do not reply, as I don't want to talk to you. Those are not helpful, because there's no solutions, there's no give and take, there's
no understanding.
Well,
isn't that part of the job?
Oh,
unfortunately,
yeah.
Is being the whipping boy or whipping girl, and people just blowing off steam. I would imagine you probably get some comments about federal government and state programs.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, well, okay, but you're shooting at the wrong target. That one's over that part of the field, not over at this part of the field. So, yeah, I wouldn't say uneducated, but perhaps not taking the time to really find out what it is that they're, who they should be talking to, rather than just, okay. I mean, I would think those go over in the category of, okay, send this one to your electeds at the state or to the federal level. This really isn't a county issue. Sorry, love to help. Boom, and you move on.
When there's some of that, I think what happens too, I think we all have been through an email experience where we've, you know, typed out or whatever you call it, keyboarded out an email that maybe we shouldn't have sent because there were, maybe was a better way to say some things that would get a better understanding across. And once you hit send, have you ever done that and you're going, oh, I wish I really hadn't sent that?
You know,
I think we get a few of those.
I think that's probably normal. Yeah. To do that kind of thing. The ones that are most intriguing for me is when somebody misinterprets.
Well, and that's easy.
And then
to
is
do
it on
email.
Me not paying attention to the words, or do they have a functional definition of a couple of keywords that are different than mine? And things, I mean, you can tell when they start swirling or spinning out of control. You go, okay, wait a minute. Something is going on here that I don't get. And you fall back.
Well, I was going to say, too, it's very different. When you're talking in person, you can see someone's body language, and you can find out sooner that you've got misunderstanding. When you're emailing or texting, you don't get any of that. So I think there's a little bit more of that inherent in those kind of written messages.
Do you mess around with texts?
Not often. Every once in a while, if someone has your phone number, they have a question about a meeting. I don't get any
quick little blah blah. Yeah, okay.
I don't get any long dissertations on text, and which is probably really good because I'd never be able to text back.
One of the things that I
bad texter.
I really kind of separate based on whatever the comment is the attachment. You know, if it's a Word document,
right,
that tends to
take more effort,
be
and time.
Most right. thought out, and,
I agree.
And most formal. Even if it's just general comments instead of with the email. I think, at least for me, I tend to spend more time putting it together and tend to have more detail when I'm reading those. So I would think that that would be one of those areas where you got most information rather than the venting or the...
Right, exactly.
The goofy ones.
Well, and I think what I just want people to understand is most of the time we're open for conversation. The attachments, you're right, generally have more thought. And the venting is fine, but the unfortunate part of it is maybe that person who's venting actually has a really good idea or a thought that if we could have a conversation versus just a one-way email that is not interested in more, you know, we're missing out on a part of the conversation. And our recent experience with the guiding principles, we've had some really, it's been a very busy email time, but I was responding to folks, and I've actually had some really good conversations with people that I never would have thought we'd have sat down together, and that's because, you know, the original email came to me, and then I responded, and we, started that conversation, and so it's just, you know, unfortunately, sometimes we have missed conversation because I think email tends to be a little short and dismissive, and I think we're missing some good points that people might have to make.
So it's not just me being short and dismissive with you, it's
well,
email
you're tall.
That causes
you're
it.
Tall and dismissive.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would never call you short.
Oh, but it does seem to be interesting, and you guys are probably in a difficult situation because most either know you or know people who know you, you know, the one time removed.
Yes.
Rather than, you know, was it 6 or 7, whatever the magic number is for anybody in the world. So we already have a preconceived notion.
True.
Because somebody has an opinion and either I value them or I dismiss their opinions and that warps into you. And then with whatever media coverage I may have been exposed to or interaction in whatever the setting was, okay, now I'm coming in from a perspective that's already kind of preset.
Yep.
Whether it's a positive one and you get a break or it's a negative one and you don't get a break. When you have sat down with some of these folks that have been more emotional in some of their discussions, do they tend to understand? Do they tend to go, oh, well, we may not agree, but she seems normal to me? Or, boy, that da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and you know, they solidify their position.
I think most of the time, you're able to connect on what you have in common, which is, I think, what's important about sitting down together and actually talking. And you might be on totally different sides of an issue. And so let's just say I don't think it necessarily changes someone's opinion on where you stand on an issue, but they get to know you more as a person, and you're less likely to be kind of vilified. You're not evil. You're not bad. You have a different opinion, and you know it's not going to take someone who was not supportive. It's not going to immediately make them be supportive, but it makes them have a better understanding.
Now, if you had that magic, you're in the way wrong job. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:43. We'll be back with more with Virginia Bass.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. Virginia, one of the challenges I would think is to try to figure out really what is being said. You know, we talked a little bit about semantics. Okay, giggles, okay. But every once in a while, there are those that clearly cross over the line. It seems like whenever you get into a real emotional arena, that tends to be the case more times than not. And I don't know. I would suggest there are some folks who don't even realize what it is that they're saying, realize what it is that they're writing. And then there are those that obviously do. How does the county react to or respond to those types of emails, those types of correspondence, those types of even public hearings where somebody says, and I'm going to get you if you don't, or if you do, blah, 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 blah. Where does it become an issue where you're on the horn with Downey and saying, you know, it's a little goosey, or you look to the bailiff in the meeting and, yeah, and you maybe, you know, make a gun gesture to him so he knows, you know, game on. Where does that individual safety start to kick in?
Boy, depends which situation you're in. Say you get something through email or voicemail that's a threat to personal safety. You kind of assess it by, you know, is this someone I've heard from before? You know, there's a certain assessment you kind of give it yourself. And then recently, what's happened is we have passed on information to the sheriff and the county council on some folks that used language that was beyond just the normal, you know, I don't like you, or, you know, we should go away, or I'm going to run people against you. I mean, that's normal. When someone threatens personal safety and your life, it's a whole different thing. So in that case, you know, we had the sheriff was notified. And like I said, county council. In a meeting, I think it's very rarely come to that. There have been times where we've had people in the audience that were acting in a threatening manner, or saying just very bizarre things, like the one time when Supervisor Smith was leaving, and this one speaker came up and was just saying these horrible things, and then said, you know,
end it with a coup de grace
or whatever. Yeah. And I mean, actually, I think in that case, the audience was going to take that person out because they were not happy. And so actually, but the sheriff came in and, you know, they generally have to stand there and then people will leave. It hasn't happened very often, but every once in a while, someone have a threatening stance. But very rarely have I actually heard threats to personal safety. And that's just happened this last month. And so most of the time it doesn't. But yeah, we're ready to mobilize. And like I said, if they figure out who it is, I wouldn't be surprised to see a deputy sheriff at somebody's door.
I would imagine that it, you know, if it's an email, it should be traceable. Okay.
Right.
You know, depending on how much sophistication you guys have.
Blogs. Well, that's another one.
Who reads blogs?
Hey, there was a blog post that actually used the word assassinate.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it got taken down, but in the meantime, that was able to be traced back to
an individual?
Yes.
Oh.
So
do you recognize him?
It wasn't to me.
It wasn't your favorite. Okay, fine.
But
mind.
That's what, again, people aren't necessarily thinking that what they're doing They may just be blowing off steam. And then it's like, if that was to the President of the United States, can you imagine what would show up at your door?
And who?
Yeah, yeah. Or any you know, I shouldn't say, you know, just a higher office that's in local government, you know.
It's oftentimes dismissed, yeah. Thanks for coming by.
Hey, thanks for, you know.
Go blow off
here.
A firework somewhere.
Go have fun. I don't want to see you playing with any of those fireworks that I'm not supposed to have.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, stay out of the neighborhood. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.